Okay, a very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today, like we said, it is the 1st of January 2019, the beginning of a new year. So we will have a special puja because it coincides with our Tuesday class. So this also marks the beginning of the 2019 year. And we kick start with the first Tuesday class, which is 1st of January. Ah, come, Christy, come. Then in front of you, there is a purple book. This is the latest book that... Ah, come, very generous. Alicia, pass the book to the back so that those who just came in, they can have it. This book, the title is The Five Aggregates of Form and Mind. Or in Pali, it's called Pancha Skanda. Skanda is actually a Sanskrit word. Then the Pali word is Skandas. Pancha is five. So the five aggregates of form and mind is a type of Dhamma that the Buddha proclaimed and taught it to the living beings. And this is the most important topic that the Buddha revealed to the world. Because this five aggregates of form and mind is actually the result or the final summary of the first Noble Truth. The Buddha summarized all of suffering, he said, in short, it is due to living beings' self-delusion or ignorance that condition grasping and clinging to the five aggregates that resulted in suffering. So he said, the upadana khandas, upadana means grasping, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. And in order to understand his final summary teaching, which is the most important, you need to understand what is this five aggregate of form and mind. Otherwise, you cannot put it to test, and you cannot understand his teaching. Then, like I said just now, before we start the class, this teaching of the Buddha is so beautiful, so unique, and so wonderful. Good. Tell me and the mother. just offer it on the altar. Sadhu. You can have this new book. Just came out. Hot from the oven. One for you and one for your mom. So this five degree of form and mind is very important. It is the Buddha's way of introducing his teaching. There are two aspects to the five aggregates of form and mind, for those who understand, even though the text didn't really explain them. The first aspect is as a human being, the Buddha said. As a human being, we have a physical body, the form element, or we call it the form aggregate. Then we have a mind or consciousness that is trapped inside. And he subdivided the four aggregates of mind into the four aggregates of feeling, perception, sankhara or activity of mind states, and consciousness. Because these are the four things that your mind can do. And when he combined these four with the physical form, you have the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. So he said, this is what you are, the first aspect. But in his teaching, he also said, this is not really you, because these five aggregates are impermanent. It leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. That's why it's empty. And it is non-self. You cannot hold on to it, cling on to it, to say, this is me, this is I. If you do that, it results in self-delusion. Self-delusion or sakkayaditti. So when you have this self-delusion, your problem starts. Where you believe this is real, this is you. Then you develop the ego, the personality, the I, the me. And this personality, this ego, will make you greedy, selfish, emotional, Yeah. And develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. Because you think you exist, you think you are real. And all of your sense experience, you deludedly cling, grasp, and hold. That's how it has power over you, to afflict you. That's how suffering comes to be. So the final summary is the five aggregate grasping is dukkha. You cannot grasp at it. Then he also said there is a second aspect to the five aggregate. Not only as a human being, every moment of sense or consciousness, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, there is also these five mental aggregates of form and mind. And that one is more important. That one is what he teach in the dwelling or dependent origination teaching, Paticchasamuppada. It's all explained in the book. It's very clearly explained. Then the form that enters the mind come from your perception aggregate. So the second aspect, the form is not your physical body, it's external form. External mental form born of your sense consciousness, sense door consciousness. So in your seeing consciousness there is also the sense data, which we call it the mental form, like color, shape and form. Then hearing consciousness is your vibration and all those things. So if you understand all this, then you will come to understand that these are dependent originating aggregate, not something that is permanent, not something that is intrinsic in you. They arise because of condition. Dependent on condition, they come to be. When condition cease to be, they cease to be. When condition sustain itself, it continues to like exist as if it's real. Then in the text, I also taught them to see many things. To understand form means learn to see form, physical form, external form. Then to understand the unreality of form. Then finally develop the wisdom to see beyond form. Not until you understand what form is and you understand the unreality of form, you cannot see beyond form. Means form delusion. The phenomenal world of form and consciousness, they still have power over you. They can still deceive you and cause confusion in you. That's why form delusion is very powerful. How form divide through words, through concept, through ideology and all this thing is all explained there. Then likewise, the other four aggregates, feeling, perception, sankhara and consciousness, they are also impermanent, lead to suffering, empty, non-self. Then I also teach them at that time how to see form, how to see beyond form, the unreality. How to see mind, which is more subtle than form. Where form is more gross, mind is more subtle because it's non-tangible. Then when you see mind, you need to have mindfulness. Otherwise, you can't see. Then when you have mindfulness, you can see mind very clearly, the mundane mind that aggregates everything. That's how the teaching come about. Then you start to develop the wisdom via the direct seeing, insight into mind phenomena, mental phenomena, physical phenomena, nature's phenomena. And you awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self or empty nature or existence. That's how you understand the unreality of mind. So this five aggregate of form and mind, whether first aspect or second aspect, you will understand it very clearly that they are not real. They are impermanent. They are empty, non-self. Yeah. Then you will awaken and your self-delusion or sakkayaditti will fade away. Yeah. And when you can root out sakkayaditti, you will become awakened or enlightened, at least to the first stage of sainthood. Yeah. They call it Sotapanna or Sotapan. Then, like I said, this sharing I delivered in the year 2005, March, not long after I came out to share. That was about 13 over years ago. Then, what happened was, at that time, I thought they need this teaching. Then I realized they were not ready. People were not ready. So this teaching was a bit ahead of time. That's why at that time, technology was not so well developed. Then, like I explained just now, somebody found it very interesting. They decided to do a transcript. Then when they did the transcript, because it was cassette tape, not like now. Now with a computer and a CD, you can pause wherever you like, go back to wherever you like. Last time, you had to rewind the cassette tape, then play again. Then sometimes halfway, the cassette tape snap or get stuck. So the transcript was not easy at that time, but they managed to do it. Then the word file at that time was so primitive, very primitive. Then somehow they managed to get it printed. Then we did a simple A4 size photostat. Then we put a plastic cover over it, and that was the very first few transcript book that we had. Then later on, after many years of sharing, I think about last year or so, or beginning of this year, I forgot it. Somehow this book came out again. Then I have the condition to tell people that there is this book, which last time I shared before. But later on when I share, I don't have the condition to go so deep into this five aggregate of form and mind and explain it so clearly. So when this condition arrived, I look back my computer, I cannot find the word file. I don't know what happened to that file. Then somehow I think somebody scanned it with the technology, and from the hard copy produced the soft copy. That's how we managed to get it done up. Then, like I said, at that time it was all colloquial spoken language. And that time when I just came out to share, well, I came out to share end of 2004, and this was delivered 3-4 months later. So at that time, the language, the colloquial language was, I remember there's a lot of, can you understand? Do you understand? So a lot of this, if you put it in written form for people to read, people don't understand what you do, what you are trying to do or what you are trying to share. But they are not there to listen to the talk. But at that time, my nature knew a lot of people cannot follow. Even when I mention about the three turning of the four noble truths, the five aggregates, they find it so difficult. That's why I say it's ahead of time. Then later on, after I polish up the flow of language, now I think it's a lot easier to read this book, because we don't have the CD anymore. That's not like your other talk, where the CD file, they are all in our website. This one you cannot find, because it was a cassette tape, and the tape was gone already. So, more important is you have to read it. But when you read it, you will see the depth of the teaching, which is very beautiful. Then some of the questions asked were also very good. I hope one day I can really go through with you. So that those who join the class later, you don't have the benefit of this five aggregate of form and mind teaching. You can now have it. That's why it's like meant to be. Then you will be very surprised. The moment I came out to teach until now, the teaching never changed. It's still the same teaching. A lot of people thought over the years, you should change on. But truth is the truth, and that's how truth will remain the same. It's only the word you use, and the approach you approach it from could be slightly different, but the essence is the same. So when you have truth, it will remain the same. Those who attended my Thursday class, they will know my teaching evolved around those few essential Dhamma, the five mental hindrance, the five spiritual faculty, the three evil root. Then the other essential Dhamma, especially the Four Noble Truths and those that are spin off from there. And it's just around this few same essential teaching. So because of that, when this book came about, my nature has a lot of joy. Yun Chan, come. You have a new book, come, give to you. This is hotly printed. Raymond, come. Very good. One each. Oh, three, yeah. Wow. Your daughter also here. Yeah, good. Akit. Now I remember her name, Akit. One each. Come, join us. So Yun Chan was the original Kayamita, the first one that founded me and asked me to come and share. So you all should thank her. We should rejoice. Sadhu. Then Raymond is his very, very wonderful and good husband. You can never find another one. A really good husband. Then Akit is her daughter. So today, they happen to be here. We all rejoice. Okay, now we will wait for them. They got something to offer, is it? Anything to offer? You check at the back. Is it something for offering? Then we wait for them to offer before we start our puja chanting. Can I have one copy of the chanting book? Oh, thank you. Never mind. Alicia, that's inside the green box should have. So, after we will do the official puja chanting. Then today, maybe we will chant the Heart Sutta. Luckily, we start early. We are still early. We have our meditation first. Then after that, we have our chanting. Yilang and Minkia, offer? Okay, bring. Then we just rejoice. No need to pass around. Take out the chanting book. Take more. One for Adeline. Pass more to the back. So today, for those who just came in, it's the beginning of the new year, 2019. So last night you all got the countdown. Yun Chan, come. We all rejoice at the offering. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Good. So, like I said, today is the 1st January 2019, beginning of a new year. So, new year got new faith, new aspiration. Then you got this new hope. That's why harapan. So, based on a few things that we heard, 2019 is going to be a good year for Malaysia. We have a Malaysia Baru. Then we got some figures and data from the finance minister. He said from May to September 2018, our foreign direct investment went up 250%. Very strong. Then our October trade also went up by 16. Trade surplus went up by 16.3 billion extra. Then with a lot of things that they are doing, I think our currency will strengthen. last night alone strengthened to 4.13. So our karmic consciousness is very strong. The nation's consciousness is very strong. That's why the change happened. Then with all this, we will have better condition to live the good life. And our nation should have a lot of good blessing, and we should grow again and become a better nation. According to Lim Guan Eng, you see, he need 3 years to turn everything around and let Malaysian economy roar again. They call it the Asian Tigers. So we will roar again. But I think no need 3 years. 2 years is more than enough. In fact, 1 year, you can see the improvement already. People ask me, you know, so much debt, so much problem, how to turn around. You know how to turn around? When you are very sick, what happened? When a person is very sick, because you are actually having problem with that, bleeding away. You know what is bleeding away? Like everywhere also got problem, wound here, bleeding everywhere, bleeding. It's like our country, because of corruption, everything. A lot of leakages, understand? But the moment you are being treated, once you got no more sickness, you recover very fast, you recuperate very fast. There are no more leakages, understand? So during that time, a little bit of boyok, wow, you recover very fast. So our nation also same. You know how much leakages went off the system. So without the leakages, you already healthy, understand? Where you don't drain out anymore. You preserve whatever that go in. All the nutrient, all the whatever you take, because nothing can be worse than last time. So you will turn around very fast. So this is what will happen. So Dhamma also same. When you are no longer heedless, what happens? It's like you don't leak out anymore, no more negativity. Oh, then you recover very fast. You progress very fast. That's why avoid all evil. Develop heedfulness, mindfulness. Then you will progress. Then develop the understanding of the cultivation. Then this book very important, 5 aggregate of form in mind. If you cannot understand this, you cannot understand the final summary, you cannot understand the Buddha's teaching. Like just now I mentioned, in his teaching, he taught about non-self, anatta, impermanent, emptiness and all those things. But then in his same teaching, he also say the I and the you. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. On the other hand, he say non-self, empty, not real, not you. You cannot reconcile. Because when he talk about you, he is referring to the form and mind, the first aspect of the 5 aggregate of form and mind. This one is subject to karma. This one, you, the entity exists. But this is not the real entity of you. This one is karmically conditioned out, a vehicle and tool for you to come to this world, this existential world, to experience life, to go through life, to experience all the karmic thing, then to cultivate, to develop the understanding, and to live the wonderful life and all those things. So this one is a vehicle and a tool for you to come, to use it to live the noble life, the good life. So when you understand the teaching, you will know how to use it. Then you will know how to make sure that this one doesn't develop delusion and get itself entangled, so that you won't suffer, so that you will be beautiful, you will be a blessing to all. So this is why the teaching is so unique, so beautiful. So this 5 aggregate of form and mind, this book is very important. One more time, go back, read through it, understand it, then hopefully if you got any question you can ask. Then we kickstart this year with a very, very auspicious special puja followed by the launching of this book. Then together with this book, there is a second book, The Mind and the Heart. Understanding the Mind and the Heart. This is based on a recent talk, the Thursday class talk, September, I remember, last year, 2018 September. Yeah. That talk was very unique, very special, because there were no conditions for me to share all those things. Then that talk happened to have the condition. Then Padmasuri volunteered to do the transcript. I just finished the editing and what they call the firming up of the transcript. And it will be printed soon. Because this is more or less like the final draft, the final editing. Then what we need is Kayamita to help read through the spelling check and also to do some what they call language check. Sometimes not only spelling mistake, sometimes it's the language. So if we can improve it, read more so that it's more readable, you let us know, then we will adjust it. But the essence of the teaching is there, and this one is very important. There are very few people understand the difference between heart and mind. The Mandarin word, they use the same word, sing, for heart and mind. But there is a difference. Your heart is where your conscience is, where the gateway to your nature is. And this one, very few people can understand. Whereas when it comes to mind, there are two minds. One is your mundane mind. The other one is your true mind. And all these teachings are not easy to comprehend, not easy to come by. But because of condition, it wants to come out. That's why it come out. And now it's in the book form, transcript. And that one we got the outline short note to help you too. Then after you finish the transcript book, the outline short note is like a revision. And it captures a lot of things too, because this was also edited by me after somebody do up the outline short note. That one we have to thank Chin Hao and the group of people who volunteered to do the outline short notes. They came to realize every of this sharing, whether Tuesday class, Thursday class, or Sunday class, there was so much sharing, teaching, and beautiful Dhamma. But every time the class finished, most people, if you don't go and listen to it attentively and make note, you cannot retain much. Do you agree? You can't retain much because you are not at that level of cultivation to appreciate and understand. So they realize the short note is very useful. Every time after the short note come out, it started off with the Sunday class. The last time, the Heart Sutta, 6-page chapter. So the short notes were very important. It summarized a lot of things. So they volunteered to set up a committee like that to do this. Then because of this outline short note, now it's very beautifully documented. That's why you go to our website. Even the whiteboard diagram is in the PDF form. You can click on it and see the whiteboard. Then as you listen to the audio file, you look at this and you read the short note, it's also in PDF file. It becomes very clear. It's like you are attending the class. Otherwise, if you read the transcript alone or the short note alone without the whiteboard description, the diagram, you may not be able to follow. So all this are made possible because of technology, because of the website that wanted to come up. So the website actually still young. By next year, 1st of March, I remember we launched. is 2 years. So now it's 1 year, 9 months. For that, we should thank a lot of people who did our website, especially Brother Tio, Jin Hao, they all, Si An, they all, and even Brother Lau, and Jin Hao's sister, and the group of people who help out and volunteer and all those things. Then the whole of the MyKayamita website or BrotherTio.com website is very, very beautiful, very unique, and it can help many people. Then now the latest development is just to share with you all, because today is the 1st of January, so we let you understand more things. Because those who attend other class, you may not hear this. We should thank Jin Hao actually, we managed to actually put our book into Amazon.com. I didn't know it was possible until Jin Hao suggested. Then our first book is the Heart Sutra, which was very good. It went in already. We want to list it there for free, but they got a policy. They say cannot. You must charge. Otherwise, they don't allow you to put it in there. So finally, we charge nominal, $2.90 per ebook and all those things. Soft copy, maybe they charge more. Then the next one that I intend to put up is the Blue Book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. And that one will help a lot of people. So that one is in the stage of progress. That one will go in, I hope, within the next 1 month, before Chinese New Year. Or if you're not free, we time it to be immediately after Chinese New Year. I have to finish the forward part, the short description. Then I pass to Jin Hao. Then now he's very familiar. He can help us to do and put it inside. And that one is very unique to Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. Very few people can write about that type of teaching. So these are the things that we have in place. And this website is very rich in, they call it the repository of essential dhammas. Everything is there. So if you go into it, you can see our activity, the purpose of our website, our objective, and all the things that we do, the concept of Kayanamitaship and all those things. Then our annual activity, including our spiritual trip, annual retreats, all this, they are all beautifully documented. And our classes, house, dana, everything. So, to be part of the Kayamita, we should thank our good karma, our good blessing. That's why we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we can start our puja chanting. Let us compose our mind, develop our faith. Then, mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhinsu Sư Chia Moni Phu. Namo Bhinsu Sư Chia Moni Phu. Namo Bhinsu Sư Chia Moni Phu. Namo Quan Sư Yin Phu Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yin Phu Sa. Namo Quan Sư Yin Phu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Phu. Namo A Mi Tho Phu. Namo Ami Tofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Milofo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Dizang Wang Pusa, Namo Dizang Wang Pusa, Namo Dizang Wang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa buddhang bhagavantang abhiwademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo Dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Then we shall chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Adina dana veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa dipena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dupenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyantang puja bhajanamutamang. Vanna ganda gunopetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokhang. Pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang. Adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang. Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang. Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang. Anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure clear cool water lead us to the pure clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like this fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we may diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, then sharing and transfer merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated, then we were off the light. Huh? Then you can have 15 minutes of meditation. Huh? For those who already know how to meditate, you just relax body and mind, silence your mind, and just straight away develop the mindfulness. Yeah? Silence your mind. Then you have any object of meditation, use it to anchor your mindfulness and stabilize it until your object of meditation becomes very quiet, very still and very subtle. Yeah? That is your true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind, paucity or tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. Then silence everything and use that silent mind to meditate. For those who are new, who still need to train your mind, then you do whatever you need to do. If you need to decondition your heedless thinking, then use the mind sweeping method. As written in the transcript book. Then also you can combine with loving kindness or metta to bring about the calmness, peacefulness and good mind state where there is a lot of love, metta within your mind state. Okay, I will ring the bell after the 15 minutes is up. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own.
Thank you.
you can slowly, mindfully come out of your meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state you need to develop the meditation in daily life. You have to stabilize your mindfulness, your awareness. Okay. Page 6, invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadam Dhamma Subhanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Subhanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Subhanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahaṃ Samma Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttaram Punyaketam Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, we will now chant the Heart Sutta, huh? One time, yeah? We get song, huh? And Brother, Pamasuri to lead us. Okay, you turn to page. What is the page? 22. Okay, 22, yes. Okay, I will ring the bell. 揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃观自在菩萨心生般若波罗蜜多时照见五蕴皆空度一切苦厄舍利子色不异空空不异色色即是空空即是色受想行识亦复如是舍利子是诸法空相不生不灭不垢不净不增不减是苦空中无色无受想行识无眼耳鼻舌身意无色声香味诸法无缘界乃至无意识界无名亦无明尽乃至无老死亦无老死尽无苦集灭道故自依无得无所得故菩提萨埵若波罗蜜多故心无挂碍无挂碍故远离颠倒梦想究竟涅槃三世诸佛亦般若波罗蜜多故得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提故知般若波罗蜜多是他身中是大明咒是无上咒是无等等咒能除一切苦真实不虚有所般若波罗蜜多咒悉说咒愿揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃。Okay, very good. Huh? Thank you so much. Then now, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Huh? Then we end our chanting. Badang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami.สังฆังพุทเธมิโอเค you can miss it huh? Then just relax yourself and maintain some more attention. So tonight, you can have a special meeting. Maybe no need to be like the usual class. So tonight, maybe we open it up for sharing. If you got anything you want to share, you can raise your hand. Then we pass you the mic. So I have already given you all a kickstart on what the New Year 2019 is going to be like, and some of the activity that we do and the book we launch. And the New Year resolution is up to the individual. Each and every Kayamita, you are unique. You are beautiful in your own way. So when you have the understanding, you determine strongly with the sadha, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, then with the spiritual faculty of virya, then sati, samadhi, and wisdom, you can make aspiration, you can make determination, you can make your New Year resolution as to how you want to move on from here. Then the blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, also very useful, a lot of important information there. You can make use of it to help you to develop the understanding, to progress along the path of Dhamma. Then after you have reflected, contemplated and understood many things, you also maybe can do all those things that you need to do. If there are occasions where you feel that you have to ask for forgiveness, seek repentance, do it. Then determine not to repeat all this or do all this wrong thing in future, so that your karmic obstruction or karmic negativity can be mitigated or resolved amicably. Then after that, determine to follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate accordingly. Then after that, make vow, make aspiration for causes and conditions to walk the path of Dhamma, to progress along the path of Dhamma. So these are the key things that you can do. Then like I saw the speech of President Xi Jinping, China leader. His speech was very good. How many of you have heard his speech? The New Year message. He said, I think it's very true. Last year, China and a lot of countries, they went through a lot of, they call, very challenging and what they call a very tough year, where in Mandarin it was very nicely presented. Go through one wind and feng year. What? Means ups and down, but he used the word feng year. Means like the weather very tough, very difficult. Yes, and you have to confront them, the trade war and all those things. Then also for us, we encounter based on our own karma, the things that we see, we observe. And you can learn a lot from it, from life itself, from observing what happened. Then you can make resolution. And you can reflect and contemplate. Like many Kayamita told me, he said, Ratio, what they went through last year was beautiful. This afternoon we were having lunch. Then you know Joyce, Joyce, he was with us and Clifford. So Joyce said it was a really challenging year. Not easy. He saw many things. Then recently it was Ajamparu's problem. They ended up in hospital and all those things, then having to send him to hospital for 2 surgeries. Then after that, cannot fly. Got to drive him all the way up to, I think, somewhere in Thailand. Then take a train from Hap Yai to Bangkok. Then Bangkok immediately landed in hospital again because there were some complications. Then life is really not what you think. One moment you can be very beautiful, very healthy, living the beautiful life of a monk. Next moment, you have to confront the reality of this form, this physical body. For this physical body go the way of nature. It will get old. It will go through old age, sickness and death. It will experience all of nature's phenomena. Then you look at how fragile the human body is. Anytime can just go. Even Acharya Chalo also mentioned, these are the reality of the form. So if you don't have the Dhamma wisdom, you are not prepared for all these things, it's not easy for you to cope. Then we look at life. Everybody is affected. And last year, Malaysia created history. You don't know what history Malaysia created. Malaysia is hell lot of good at creating history. Malaysia boleh, really. We managed to bring down what they call 61 years of dominating government who has been ruling the country since independence until now without any bloodshed. No? The change of government, everything happened so peacefully, but not easy. Those who witnessed, they will know. And we created the greatest history is our former prime minister who left the premiership since the year 2003. It's 15 years ago. Come back and become the 7th prime minister again. And that was a record at the age of 93. And the whole world salute him. And after he take office, he did so many things. And he said the country was really completely destroyed. And he has to nurture it back. And his cabinet minister were mostly new people, never in the government before. And some of them are really first time holding minister posts and deputy minister posts. And they had to get the country back to shape. Not easy. Then there were a lot of the political thing, he last night sent also a lot of people to prison, ISA. Then now come out people willing to work with him some more. Then he sent the latest one, I think. He's going to send them to jail. I tell you, he's very good at doing all these things, but he say he is not good at choosing leader. He always choose the wrong leader. So he said, don't ask me to choose anymore. So this time he don't want to choose. He said, I will keep my promise. 2 years, I will pass over. So there were a lot of things. So for us, we reflect differently. I reflect that it's a blessing in disguise. I can feel the consciousness moving since the year 2008, that first change. Then after that, 2013. Then the latest one, 2018, the sign was so clear, everything fall into place, and you can feel that it is going to happen because Malaysians are very, very blessed. You got your good karma. So the consciousness evolve and become so beautiful. That's why it managed to bring about that transformation. Then now there were a lot of things that meant to be will be. So as an individual, we also need to reflect on whatever that we encounter in life especially the last 1 year was pretty amazing. A lot of people was like going to hell because of the trade war, especially business people, the investment sector, and also the financial market and all those things. They were so badly affected. The most fearful thing of trade and financial market is uncertainty. And our I don't know what to call him, our Mr. Trump, he is very good at creating uncertainty, that trade war. Then people call him by various names. Is it true? How many of you really try? You key in the word into Google, ID, IOE, IOT. His name appear. You try? Oh, didn't. You go and try. You say you key in the word, the idiot president, his name appear. His old man call him idiot. I don't know whether true or not. I didn't try. But many people try. They say, yeah, his name came out. But it's the way he behaved. He behaved. Even the American news channel, you listen to CNN, CNBC, and also Bloomberg. I tell you, you really laugh. They put in the video about him expressing so many things. He it's like you can never rely on him. He is so unpredictable. One moment everything okay, next moment everything go back to square one and he wire again. And he's very good at saying, nobody knows this thing better than me. Every field, every aspect. So this type of person is, nobody can advise him. He knows everything. So according to Krishnamurti, the most dangerous person in this world is the person who say he knows everything. Anyway, it's a good reflection. Because we have such character, such personality, such great leader, you have the world going through all the turbulence. Like Yun Chan say, the turbulence, the crisis and everything. Then he called the North Korean president what? The rocket man. So actually our civilization is pretty amazing, pretty beautiful. But we get to experience all the beautiful, what they call digital technology, the advancement of science and technology. Our civilization has evolved so beautifully. So you have the means, you can experience very beautiful lifestyle. And also the news, the media, the things that are available. Even my father's generation, they never understood. My father also never get to see. Yeah, he passed away 14 years ago. And these are the things that we should actually count our good blessing for having such condition to go through this beautiful phase of civilization evolution. For you to experience all this, you are so blessed, isn't it? Compared to those who are no longer around. Then for most of us, if we are still healthy at our age, we should also count our good blessing. I had a lot of joy, and just now I heard somebody say, these are like bonus. Every day from now onward, if you are healthy and have a good life, it's like bonus. Because most people, before they even reach, no need to say 60, sometimes 50, 40 something, they already got big problem, disease, sickness and all those things. So for us, we are so blessed, we have the Dhamma, we understand, and our mind state are mostly peaceful. We are at ease. We can come to terms with the reality, accept the reality of the moment. We know how to mitigate problem. We know how to apply our understanding, the Noble Eightfold Path, to resolve all situation or issue amicably. We can avoid conflict. we can avoid negativity of mind states. And we can avoid a lot of unnecessary problems. And all this can be possible because we have this teaching, the Dhamma. That's why we must have great gratitude and respect towards the Buddha for cultivating so diligently to perfect himself and to come to this universe, especially our planet, to deliver such beautiful teaching 2,600 over years ago. And now we are still within the sasana where the teaching is still there. That's why this is a golden age, beautiful era. You agree or not? This is a golden age. Yeah? Huh? Nobody answer. Your life is miserable. Don't you believe this is golden age? To me, I felt so contented and so happy. I never would have imagined I can go through such beautiful golden age of this civilization. And we are at the peak, you know, prime of our career, no need career, most of us are retired, but some are still not retired. Even for those who are retired, I still find that this is still the beautiful golden age where very few people get to experience. I give you an example, you will understand what I mean. Our recorded history of our world's civilization or our Earth civilization is how long? Recorded, I use the word recorded. I know the planet Earth is already almost 7 to 10 billion years. But recorded history, how long? Huh? Well, you all don't study history, you know? Sejarah. Huh? Now is the year 2019. Okay? This is after Jesus, AD. Anno, what? Domino. Huh? That before that is what? Before Christ is what? BC. So what is the longest record of history? How many BC? Huh? Yeah, what was the year? 3000 BC. No. 3000 is BC. Plus the 2000 plus is 5000 over years of civilization, recorded civilization. The Yellow River also about 3000 BC. But most of them are 2000 over BC. The Indus civilization, the Genghis civilization, then we had the Egyptian, the Babylon, and all those things. The River Nile. All civilizations start with river, or no? River Nile, Genghis River, Indus River, Yellow River. We have no river, no water. No water, no life. Yao sui, ko sui, mo sui, san sui. So you need water. So now, modern civilization, money means water, yamo sui. So that water really means a lot to people. So if 5,000 years of civilization, all those people who come before us, even until the year 1960, all these people were still very primitive, do you know? No? Very backward. They haven't seen the real progress of the world. Even China, in the year 1960, Cultural Revolution, they were still so backward. But you give them 40, 50 years, you look at China now. Like Xi Jinping say, he said, no matter how you look at China, is it, you have to accept one fact, that China was able to create the modern miracle. You know what was the miracle? To take so many people out of poverty, to improve the life of the people in China by leaps and bounds, to grow in such ability following the proper leadership and following proper understanding of how to govern the state and the people and how to motivate and bring about such possibility. And they are the fastest growing economy in the world. And they have done a lot of things which the world has never seen before. And this is possible because almost one quarter of the human population is in China. I remember last time there was one Westerner who was, I think he has vision, but I still believe he still never imagined how China can become what it is today. But he did mention, he said, don't write off China. China is a sleeping giant, you see, where he wake up. Is it? Napoleon Bonaparte. Oh, don't wake him up. Oh, dragon. Oh. That's why the moment China wake up, I tell you, the world becomes different. And we like it or not, our Chinese culture, our civilization is very unique. Everywhere you go, Chinese is everywhere. And they survive. If they cannot survive, they will not go out. Understand? But all those who go out, according to my father was one of them, he said they got no choice. Because if you stay on in communist China at that time, you will die. See? He was forced to come out. My father came out in the year 1930-something. I asked him, why you come out? He said, not to say why I want to come out. I got no choice. I have to come out, otherwise all die. Not enough food. Famine, rationing, and all those things. No opportunity, nothing. No matter how hard working, it's still, he can see, is it? A lot of people die of starvation. Then it was very tough at that time. But the moment he came out, he saw our country, really. It's like my mother said, he is out of the suffering world. The moment he out of China, he's already out of the suffering world. Well, in China, she suffered. She really suffered. Yeah. It came out here. He said, here, our country here, is in Hakka, it was Jiufu, here in Malaysia. We are so blessed. I asked her why. He said, your land is so fertile, flat, so easy to plant. Anything throw on it also grow. He said, in China, our hometown, the Hakka Yanlou there, mountainous. Hardly any water, extreme of weather condition. Then you need to terrace a little bit of this flat land on the hill and carry water every day to water so many times and come down just to plant a little bit of all this. And he said life was very tough. Yeah. And a lot of things were very tough. Eat also not enough. Rationing. The rationing was, you say you can never believe. I was told by my mother, Your this what angji guling what you call that? The milk can condensed milk can one can of that oil your whole family for 1 month now. That is your allocation. Then rice very little, is it? The rest you have to go and look for your own food, plant yourself and all those things. And then during winter, you cannot get anything, you see, because it's winter. That's why either you leave that place or you are going to die. And a lot of them really go through that tough life. That's why he always tell me, my father and my mother, you all never know how blessed you are. You see? If you are still in China, you will know that you are really blessed. Here we take for granted. Here everything is there. The moment they come over, they got pipe water, they got electricity. Then so easy to grow things. Go to the back. Everywhere is fertile land, water, everything. Then you can chop firewood, everything. So convenient, is it? Then our society evolved. And they get to experience many things. I remember my mother told me, first time you buy the gas cooker to cook our rice, she was so happy. She said, got such magic pot on her. She said, can cook rice like that. No need to set up fire, no need to have stove and all those, and no need to look after the fire and all those. Everything just that from Japan. You remember rice cooker? The first time, because our family was very big, and one time the pot, you had to cook a lot of rice, so it was not easy. Then later on, when the gas burner come, she was full of joy, no need to go and buy firewood, saw, chop, dry, then use it to make fire. That's why we went through a lot of things that we take for granted, our civilization. So if we look at life, we should really, really thank our good karma. We come at the right time, have the right education some more. During my father's time, he didn't get to study. There was no opportunity. He didn't go to formal school. He just learned 2 years of standard one, standard two classes. And he learned it from the rich man's son. The rich man's son attended school. So he learned from him. He listened to what he learned. And then sometimes he go to the school nearby there because you can go and listen. And he learned. Then the one that listened from outside already learned. The one that was paid to go to the school and attend the schools didn't learn some more. That's why a lot of things is it depend on you. If you have the determination, if you really want to make a difference to your life, you will do, you see. That's why he came out alone. He doesn't even know where he's coming to. He just heard people say got ship to take you to somewhere, South China. South China is called what? Nanhai or what? Nanyang. He just walked. You know, from his village, he walked to Suatao, where the ship is. 1 week, you know. 1 week he walked. Without food, without anything. Just drink water, survive with whatever on the road that he can see. But when he reached the boat, he was very happy. All the meal provided by the colonial government, the British. The British, very good. But they need workers, to migrants to come over to Malaysia because they know these Chinese and Indians are very hardworking. That's why they like them. So they bring them over and they really, really build up what we are today. The mining industry, the what they call all our the small business we do, or the coffee shop, the association, all set up by them. Then the food chain, the supply chain and all those things. That's why they got a lot of contact. And our association thing is very useful. The Ke or Hakka Association and the various Liu Guan Zhang. And you got all the association of the various dialect that come. They really together can actually move things. And they bought into a lot of property, land, shop lot, and all those things, and have it as their organization. From there, they support new people who come. Then they get them to get proper job and all those things. That's how this culture evolved and become beautiful. So out of the 5,000 over years of history, it's only the last 30 or 40 years where these people get to experience the good life. That's why you look at this way. You should count your good blessing that you are still around. Especially younger people, like Brother Tiong's son and daughter, Kok Lun, they all. You still got a lot of beautiful years to experience this good civilization, the golden age. For most of us, maybe not that long. Another 20 years, you think can live so long? 20 years, 80 something. Most of us are 60, 50 something, 60s. Myself 60 something, some older, like Yun Chan, they all 70. Yun Chan, Raymond, then Chui also, Chui not young, you. Getting along. Chui is very interesting. Vivian also not young, Queenie also not young, All sitting at the back there. all the senior people. So this is good reflection. That's why the year 2018, you should go back and write down and reflect on life. Then tell yourself how blessed you are. Understand? That's why motivate yourself. Understand? Give yourself that joy that you will reserve. Understand? Life is full of opportunity, meaning, and so beautiful and so wonderful. Why must you go and make life into such misery, full of unhappiness and all those things? The one I sent out, you all got read or not? The Nelson Mandela one. Was it Nelson Mandela? Huh? That one interesting in there. When he was free from prison that day, the way he expressed it, I love his speech. I love his speech. He really very good. I get it and I read it to you. Nelson Mandela. Ah, yes. Before Nelson Mandela left prison, he said, "As I stand before the door to my freedom, I realize that if I do not leave my pain, my anger and my bitterness behind me, I will still be in prison. Self-imprisonment is worse than that which is imposed. How many are in self-inflicted pain today for lack of forgiveness? How many of us have imprisoned ourselves inside the wall of anger and bitterness? Holding grudges does not make you strong. It makes you bitter. Forgiveness does not make you weak, for it sets you free. Consider this while you are preparing to move into the new year, 2019. Yeah? That's why I send it out for you all to reflect on. And this is beautiful that a lot of human beings harm themselves, hurt themselves, and make themselves miserable. That is self-imposed imprisonment, suffering. You see that or not? That's why I wake up. Don't be so foolish. You already have enough prison in this society of ours. You don't go and impose another prison within your own mind through your own delusion. So these are very beautiful sharing and ideas. Okay, I have spoken enough. So it's your turn now. I want to listen to your story. So who is next? Oh, nobody put out hand. So I got to nominate all. Anybody want to share anything? Or what you have learned? Chui. Pass the mic to Chui. Sadhu. Pass the mic to Chui. Good. So Chui is very good at starting the ball rolling. Thank you.
After that, somebody else has to do it.
Yeah, no problem.
Here's a trick question. Someone posed this to me, and I almost got tricked, but I remembered what you said. So I'm just going to ask everybody what they think. Does the mind control the thought, or the thought control the mind? I want to hear your answers first I tell you what I came up with.
Very good. So who wants to try?
Anybody?
So repeat the question. Does your mind control your thought, or your thought control your mind? Who wants to try? It's a good question. who? Try. Somebody answer. Who is it? Never mind. Don't worry about right and wrong. Try. Yes. Wendy. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Good.
I thought it's an illusion. I think mind is a matter. It's a subject.
The mundane mind is matter. It's energy. Yeah. Correct.
So, the mind control the thought. Because the illusion, we can't control the illusion. We can control the mind.
she is quite close, but very good. Keep on trying. After us, we will share. This is a good topic. Who is next? Tammy. Very good. Tammy, not bad already now. Can already. She has improved.
For me, I feel the mind is the mind, control is control,
correct.
Thought is thought.
Sadhu. Yes. Because if you understand, then these three are separate. Mind, you must know which mind. The mundane mind also got two, deluded and not deluded. So if it's deluded, then something will take its course. If it's not deluded, then that mind, thought cannot control him, understand, or her. But if it's deluded, then delusion take over, understand, that it create the wrong thought, understand? That's why it's nothing to do with the mind control that thought, because this mind cannot control. You know why? Because the thought try to control. And what did Krishnamurti say? What happened if the controller is the control? Thought trying to control thought. It's not the mind trying to control thought. Understand? It's the thought that try to control thought. So if the controller is the control, how can that happen? Means you don't have the awareness. You don't see what is happening. It's the delusion that created the thought, the wrong thought, that wants to control. Understand or not? But what Krishnamurti is trying to tell you is, what happens if the controller is the control? It's still the thought. Understand or not? You are not free. That's why you have to have the awareness to be aware of that. So if the controller is the control, means the observer is the observed. Understand or not? Thought observing thought. That's why they come out with the delusion. I still have anger. Who say that? Thought. And what is anger? Anger is another thought. Wrong thought. Conditioned by wrong view. But when you understand that the observer is the observer, then both is one entity. Understand? It's not two. There is no controller. There is no observer. It's just an awareness. This is dependent originating. When it come out, you aware, you understand. That's why when you have that clarity, then you will understand. That's why Tammy has it correctly answered. It depends on mind. What type of mind are we talking about? Mind is mind. Control is a word. And thought is thought. Thought is dependent originating, condition arising. So when you understand this through the Dhamma, you will know. Then sometimes the question is deceiving. Deceiving in the sense that the question itself, the person who come out with the question doesn't understand, but it's very interesting. So that's why they like the question. Just like the heart and the mind, the next book that is going to come out, it's the same. The person who asks that question doesn't really understand much, but he knows there is a difference, but he cannot explain. He or she who come out with that question cannot explain. He said it's 14 inch apart. But it's not easy to follow the heart, he always say. Because he doesn't know what the heart is all about, what the mind is all about. Very good. Tell me, sadhu, then continue to explain in your own words.
Yeah. You explain.
Use your own word. Use your own word. Oh, you take that as your understanding. Good, good, good. Then now back to Chui. somebody else. Who else? Who wants to try? Queenie. Pass to Queenie. You smile. You want to try? Pass the mic. She. I don't want to say anything. Then you ask your daughter to help you. Oh, she not here. Miss Yang. Okay, who else? Who else? Yeah. I already explained one. So easy. So now, add in your own one. Pass back to Chui, yes.
You taught us a long time ago, and I remember I almost got tricked by that one, and I reflected, and it is the statement, I can't realize the Dhammapada or whatever. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is
Shiv. When mind arises, everything arises.
And then I looked into this book, that's why I made up that question.
Very good.
Because here you've said in page
42, everybody.
Yeah.
Mind is the forerunner of all
things. Yes.
And because of sense door consciousness,
yeah.
whenever you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think,
yes.
their respective consciousness will arise to create the whole phenomenon of world of consciousness.
Yeah.
And that's where the thought
comes the thought come in.
So it's the mind.
Depend on the views and conditioning. Then from there, it stir the mind. Understand?
Last paragraph.
Yeah.
Just want to mark it out.
Yeah.
Because and that's where the mind then comes in.
Yeah.
So it's not the thought that controls mind. It's the mind that from which all states arrive, five aggregates. So
correct. So the mind is the forerunner of all things. That is the mundane mind, understand? That mundane mind, the moment it arises, it starts to create. That's how creation come about. Civilization is about consciousness. That's why our world is a phenomenal world of consciousness, nothing else. And how can we develop consciousness? Because we have a physical body with the senses, our five physical senses and the brain. That's why the mind that is trapped inside upon contact create the respective consciousness. And this is how it animates you into a human form, a human being that can interact with the world, that can know the world through your senses, through your consciousness, your seeing consciousness. You can see whatever that arises via your seeing consciousness, the color, shape, and form. That's why there is such a TV program called Sight and Sound. You heard of it? Sight and Sound. All the beautiful thing that you can see through your vision, your seeing consciousness, the sight. And the sound that you can hear through your hearing consciousness. So this is what they call... Jin Hao, where are you? Jin Hao not around. Oh, then Christina, you help bring this chair over. I sit higher up so I can see you all and talk to you. Otherwise, you're all so tall now. Yeah. Oh, Jin Hao. Yeah, put here.
So everybody, we have to thank Brother Teo for that.
Yeah.
Because if not, I would...
Yeah, you wouldn't understand. You wouldn't understand.
Deluded by thought.
Yeah. Sadhu. That's why I say this new book is very important. Very, very important. If you understand this, you understand the Buddha's teaching very easily. It relates to who you are, what you are. Like what I used to share with you all last time. Basically, we have to start from zero base. Eh? If I ask you, who are you? What are you? How will you answer me? If you use the conventional truth, the deluded thinking, you will say, I am so and so, and that's not your name. You think that is you? That is never you, isn't it? Whatever you are, you can never deny that you have a physical body and a mind or consciousness trapped inside. These are realities, isn't it? True or not? Then this is what you are. That's why the Buddha said you are the five aggregate of form and mind, the physical form. And the mind, four aggregate, five aggregate. And this is what the human being is all about. And this is what karma is all about. Well, this is subject to karma. And this one is not your real true nature. You have another nature within that is never born, that has eternal life. That's why without all this understanding, you cannot meditate. You cannot realize that true nature, that oneness nature, the enlightenment nature. And you will never know that you got two minds. Because when your mundane mind sees or silent, completely doesn't arise, then the awareness come out. The awareness can be aware of that true mind, that true nature. Without this understanding, you cannot meditate. You know how people meditate? They use the thought. The thought come out with method and technique. Remember? Then the thought meditate. Understand? How? Focus. Concentrate. Note. Doing all this foolish thing. And thought is thought. How can the instrument of thought realize a state that is beyond thought? That's why all thought-based meditation will fail. will never succeed because you never understood this very basic thing. So when the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, it's that consciousness inside. Well, when that arises, everything arises. The whole of the phenomenal world of consciousness through our senses, the sense of consciousness, it arises. Without your senses, you are incapable of having life. You understand? If you don't have seeing consciousness, you cannot see things. You cannot hear things. You cannot smell. You cannot taste. You cannot feel tactile. And you cannot even arise thought. Then what are you? You are a vegetable, isn't it? Correct or not? You know what a vegetable is. A hospital sometimes got a lot. The mind cannot interact with the body. That's why it's called a vegetable. The consciousness may be there, but it cannot cause the seeing consciousness to arise. It cannot cause anything to arise. So without consciousness, you are as good as dead, like a vegetable. Yeah. So this understanding is very important, and it can only come about through meditation, when you're silent to observe who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. How upon contact, consciousness come to be. Then how you input the content of consciousness through your wrong view, through your conditioning, your belief system, your views and opinion and conditioning. So all this, you start to see them. Then you realize, hey, this is not me. He know me, he know you. It's just form and mind. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, coming and going, coming and going. Then why are you still so deluded by it? Get yourself so involved, so entangled, grasp, cling, hold, and give meaning, and want to argue with people, want to own things, have things, fight for nothing, over nothing. Create all the suffering, the misery, the karmic negativity that condition your misery in life. And all this is due to delusion and ignorance. So without delusion, without ignorance, with wisdom connected to our form and mind, we will know how to live. We will not be deluded. There will be no sakadity. And then we can use this beautiful physical body and mind to live life. It's like our tool or a servant to serve us. So use it. Do not be deluded by it. Don't allow it to create suffering, misery. Just like our thought. Don't use it negatively to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out at others. We are wrong thought, conditioned by wrong view. That's how the evil root come about. But if you have the understanding, the wisdom, and understand that the user of thought is very important, so user of thought must have wisdom. Then thought become beautiful. You can arise the right thought, the appropriate right thought, to bring about wholesomeness, good karma, good condition for good life. Then it's all about virtue. It's all about understanding, wisdom. And then your life becomes different. Through that wisdom, you will never, never go back the old way, be heedless, and get yourself entangled, and no more suffering, because you see everything so clearly, so beautifully. So you use it correctly, like a knife. You don't use it to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit our others. This is the wrong way of using that tool or the instrument that comes from your karmic nature. So use it with understanding. Then this body also same, even though not real, impermanent, not you, go the way of nature. But you need this body for you to do things, understand? To experience things. To live the wonderful life of a noble one. So, you have to take care of this body. But the Buddha said, don't attach, don't cling, understand? Don't worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. But if you need to take care, you take care. Like a car, you maintain it well, service it well. Make sure a lot of things that need to be maintained, you maintain it well. Then the car will serve you longer, will last you longer, will be more reliable. So this body is the same. If you take care of it, it will take care of you. If you abuse it, what happened? Huh? If you go and abuse this body, you know how you abuse it. Hate yourself. You go and do all the stupid thing to make yourself miserable. Think the wrong thought until you are so angry, so miserable, so full of sorrow and lamentation. Then project your thought and make yourself miserable through your fear, your worry, your anxiety. Then go and act and break the law, society's law, the karmic law, until the friction come and hit you and you become miserable, afflicted. That is the wrong way of using thought. That is the wrong way of using this body. Then sometimes out of foolishness, you go and drink. You go and do all the foolish thing. Stay up late at night and go and do all the activity that are not proper. Get yourself involving drugs, all the vices and all those things. Then when you abuse your body, you contact all the various type of disease. Sometimes HIV, venereal disease and all those things. What for? That's why without wisdom, without understanding, all this happen. So when you are mindful and aware, you can see how thought arise. And what is thought? Thought is response to memory. You will see it very clearly. Without memory, that thought cannot come out. Yet that thought, without the memory of what it is, it cannot come out as a thought. That's why Krishnamurti used the word. Thought is of the past, as state as the dry leaf. Understand? Well, these are accumulation of memories. And this memory that you accumulate, that you deposit into your brain, these are the condition for memory to trigger off. Understand? So when you access this memory, it recall that it create thought. Understand? Then through your wrong view, it project and create fear. That's why your phobia, your scars of memory, your whatever fear that you have accumulated. Once there is condition for you to recall, it will come out and haunt you. That's why sometimes there is cold fear, there is intense fear. The moment you recall something, or there is condition for you to recall something, especially when you are young, that child abuse or whatever that you have gone through, or certain very frightening thing, the phobia, it trigger off very fast. But with wisdom, with awareness, it cannot happen. The moment it arises, the awareness is there. The third way to meditate, aware, cease, gone. Yeah, this is dependent originating, wrong view. So you straighten your view. Why must you fear? Who fear? What fear? Thought fear. But you is not the thought. Your nature is awareness. Awareness is before the knowing. And the thought was never you. Fear was never you. Anger was never you. Then why are you foolishly entangling yourself through holding on to all these that are dependent, originating, born of wrong thought, wrong view? That's why the user of thought and this physical body is very important. And this is the book that teaches you all this. How to see form, understand the unreality of form, then how to see beyond form. Then likewise, the other aggregate of feeling, perception, sankhara, and consciousness, they are all there. And it's very clearly explained. Yeah. We are during that time, these were my early understanding. The early understanding where I want to share, people are not ready yet. But I saw all this. I understood all this. And this one I never learned from anybody. No book write about it. The two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind, when I started to teach that one, You know, people look at me, you know. You are not even a monk. Book also never write. Where do you get this understanding? Yeah. How to explain to people? Because they never heard this before. Oh. But then later on, yeah, as the what they call the consciousness evolve, when condition become different, when I reverse back the teaching, go back to basic, then slowly, I bring the understanding out. Then people start to understand these are the actual things that happen within their own form and mind. And they can relate to life. And they can relate to the teaching and the cultivation. That's why after that, I realized the Buddhist community also, they change. The emphasis go back to awareness or mindfulness already. Last time was jhana, vipassana, rising forward. Now, all different. Come back to awareness, sati, mindfulness, and all this thing. Yeah. Then the teaching slowly evolve. But this five aggregate of form and mind is still something that the Buddhist community hasn't really understood. Yeah. Where is the mic? Yes.
So you please
read this book.
Brother Teo, yes. Having said all these, I also see what you say here about sankara. Sankara.
Anicang. Sabe sankara dukang.
So really then, suffering is just the end state of a dissatisfaction. The mind.
Yeah,
goes
it's the mental state. Understand? Yeah. If you through delusion cling, then that mind get afflicted, that is suffering.
So it, according to this, I think I understand it very well. So if you don't mind, you correct me. If I'm
no problem.
If
yeah.
the mind then has that avijja, which is the ignorance,
yes,
and
that
the
condition
that you mentioned then it will get into an unsatisfactory state.
Yeah.
For example, she has a bigger car than me.
Yeah, the envy.
The envy.
You know, and that jealousy.
Yeah,
yes.
Can only give me only a terrace house when he's got a mansion and so on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
that is the state of dissatisfaction.
Yes.
Conditioning.
Born of self-delusion.
Yeah.
Because you think you exist. You think they exist. So and there is comparison.
Yeah. So dukkha will not arise if the mind state is not deluded. It is not the no avijja, no aversion. So
correct.
It is,
but
so
the thing is that word that you use, no delusion, no avijja. These are words. Understand or not?
Yeah, but we are human beings.
Correct.
I'm a puttujana. That's
correct.
For sure. You know, so
don't worry about that. But when the understanding comes, it can shift. Because this puttujana is there by reason of the self-delusion, sakkayaditti. That first, what they call, there are 10 fetters. The first fetter not rooted out. And that one is not easy to root out, I tell you. Human beings think that they understand the teaching. Yeah, the Buddha say, he no me, he no you, non-self, empty, anatta. I understand what this one not real, not me. But you know what happened? When something hit them, they suffer, they become miserable. Means what? All your thoughts are still egoic. Sakkayaditti is still there. You still believe this is you. Understand? That's why the real one, well, I understand what you try to express. You want to know how to be free of suffering. So to you, you think free of suffering means I got no self-delusion, no avijja, then I'll be free. Technically, it's correct.
I don't mean it in that way. I'm just saying that the mind state must get to such a state.
It's not the mind state.
We can do it or not is beside the point.
Okay.
But at the moment, if there is no dissatisfaction, there the state of dukkha cannot arise.
Okay. I will explain it to you in another way, maybe easier for you. The absence of suffering is not enlightenment. Do you understand? No, no, no. That one is very important. Yes, you know what they are trying to explain in the third noble truth. Third noble truth is what? Nibbana. They say the absence of suffering is Nibbana now. Why you say it's not? No, no, no. Absence of suffering. Okay, I will explain it. Then you will understand. You see, a lot of people get it confused. They thought the absence of suffering is Nibbana, enlightenment. Then I can tell you, you do metta. Understand? Or? Radiate love and metta. You got suffering or not? But are you enlightened? Is that Nibbana? That's why the absence of suffering is not enlightenment. Understand? Or? So don't try to bring your mind state to the state where there is no suffering. Without wisdom, you will suffer. Understand? You will grasp, you will cling. That's why what you need is, the Buddha say, yoniso manasikara. And what is that? Wise attention at the moment of sense experience. When sense experience arise, if you don't have the wisdom and the right view, you will stir. You will grasp, you will cling. You cannot let go. Understand? You cannot cut a feeling. All this is not understanding what meditation is. He tell you all the things that you think is logical. And feeling upon contact, feeling arise. The feeling condition craving, is it? So if I cut a feeling, no craving. You go and believe this type of teaching. Then they say, let go. Don't attack. Then you're free. If you have delusion, can you let go? Without wisdom, you cannot let go. Your mind straight away stir. So what you need to understand is, wisdom comes through the three turning. Sutamaya panya, chintamaya panya, and bhavanamaya panya. So first turning is listen or read. Then you have the understanding, you have the cultivation, the mindfulness and the understanding from your past. Then you can awaken. Let's say you cannot awaken. Then you go to the second turning. You reflect, contemplate on it, like the Buddha said. Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand this? Like the final summary or the first number two. Then in order to understand what the Buddha meant by the five aggregate of grasping aggregate, upadana kanda, is suffering. So how can I understand it? To understand it, I must understand what is the five aggregate, isn't it? Otherwise, how to go and put it to test and investigate? Then I start to reflect and connect. What is the five aggregate? Why he say I five aggregate? I'm a human being, what? Correct or not? Then how the human being become the five aggregate? You know? This is how I probe. Then I went in. Then I realized the mind got four aggregate. And how to understand the four aggregate? What your mind can do? Then I inquire. Yeah, my mind can feel, can perceive, can arise the mental state, sankhara, and become conscious. Then I realize the Buddha is so wise. This is what human being is all about, the form and the mind. Then how the mind, the mental form, enters the mind is because the perception aggregate. And that one was never taught in the book. Nobody understand that. That's why the mental five aggregate was not understood. That's why they cannot explain the dependent origination. They need the three lifetime one to explain it. That's why all this not in the book, not taught by anybody, but I dare to say it when I came out to share. Chui, yes.
You talked about dukkha. Yes. You talked about dukkha just now. Yeah. Then dukkha, if I remember correctly, it's part of this anicca, dukkha, anatta.
Yeah, it's a universal characteristic.
Perfection, the fourth paramita or something like that.
No. This is not the fourth parami.
One of the ten
paramita is wisdom. Yes, wisdom. Yes.
Sure.
No, when you insight into the universal characteristic of nature, which is anicca, dukkha, and anatta, then you develop wisdom. Understand?
Yeah, but
you have to insight through the silent mind and awaken.
The insight into all these, like you say, dukkha and then this.
Anicchang dukkha anatta.
And all those kind of things. That is itself a wisdom.
Definitely, when you insight means you develop the insight knowledges or wisdom.
Okay, because I had a very narrow view of wisdom from all this, which is that maybe the wisdom arises because we apply this rule, which these three characteristics.
No. These three characteristics is not a rule. It's a universal characteristic. Universal characteristic means it's inherent in all things in this universe.
So I have to define wisdom where these three are concerned in a much
you cannot define
broader
wisdom.
Basis.
You cannot define wisdom. Wisdom is an understanding, it's not a knowledge.
Yeah.
A knowledge is rigid, you can define. Understand or not? Technical knowledge.
Okay.
What knowledge? But wisdom is an understanding. You cannot define wisdom. Wisdom is when you awaken, then it is with your nature. It's not stored in the brain. It's not in the memory. It's not a knowledge.
But these three characteristics help us to develop a deeper understanding.
It's not to say these three characteristics help you. It's the insight, the wisdom.
Sorry, I used the wrong word. I don't know.
Because when you awaken, when your silent mind awaken to that characteristic, means the silent mind understand that everything in this universe, all phenomena, has this universal characteristic. So it's nothing to do with that three. It's the insight, the wisdom that awaken to that. Understand?
It's just that I'm saying that I should take a more open approach.
No, you are trying to use thought, Chui. That's why you cannot understand
insight.
It. The insight is not a thought. That's why don't try to use thought to understand. It cannot be understood by thought.
I'll think about it and I'll ask you questions.
Yeah, can. Very good. Sadhu to you. Luckily you asked. Yeah. Pass to Tammy's mother, Karen. I think she got something to add. Very good.
No, Brother Theo, can you please explain the difference between ignorance and delusion?
Oh, okay. That one is very easy. Now you listen. This is the don't know how many times I explain this. At the retreat, I explain a lot. Self-delusion, sakkayaditti, is one of the small aspect of ignorance. Understand not? Ignorance is the big brother. Understand not? Ignorance means not understanding the truth. But self-delusion is you are deluded because you think the five aggregate of form and mind, this human being is real. And you hold on to it, cling on to it, and say, this is me, this is I. That's why it becomes self-delusion, sakkaya ditti. So when you believe this is you, you create the egoic mind, the personality, that this is real, this is me, the I and the me. And this will make you possessive. Where you think you exist. You want to own things. You want to have things. That's how greed come about. That's how selfishness, possessiveness come about. Covetousness, lust, craving, all come about because of that. Where you think you are real. You can own things and have things. Then when people do things to you and make you unhappy, you become angry, violent. Then sometimes you develop envy, jealousy. These are also evil root, but result from that self delusion. If without that self, there is nobody to get angry. Understand? Who is angry? What is angry? The thought is angry. Understand? Why you cling on to the thought? Well, the thought is a wrong thought. The fellow say, "Hey, this guy abuse you, no? Why are you still keeping quiet? Tell him all." Understand? And then the thought condition you to do something. Understand? And this is how people get into trouble. They become violent after that. Then when you cannot understand certain thing, when your thought project, you develop fear. Ayo, si liao. Si liao. In English, means die already. Why? If my boss come to know how, if I cannot deliver how, if I cannot finish how, the target, the deadline, then sometimes you project your thought. No? Let's say you are like the previous government, abuse a lot of things, do a lot of funny things. Then now MACC come after you. Then you call in to drink coffee. They say, lim kopi. Then 4 hour, 5 hour, 6 hour, sometimes 8 hour drill. Then stay overnight some more. Next day go to court charge. You think during that period you got fear? No? You definitely got fear, cold fear. No? Why are you like that? Sakayaditi. Yeah, you think you exist, you are real. You did wrong, you are being charged. The thought project. But the reality is, at this moment, why are you not peaceful? Why must you have the fear inside that? Why can't you be yourself? Be aware and stay peaceful inside. Well, these are projection of thought, not real. The reality, if I did wrong, the nature's law will come after me. Society's law will come. Then if they charge me, I let it be. Well, this is the reality. If I accept, I'm at peace. My fear doesn't arise. And this is wisdom, giving rise to the state of mind that is peaceful. Without wisdom, your thought will project. You cannot say, I don't want to think, I don't want to attach. It's impossible, understand? You can go and ask our good friend, Jip Go. He can testify. Cannot. Sometimes you think he on the Facebook, the Twitter, you think what he do, he still... not sad and all that. That is because he cling on to this tweeting to maintain his confidence, to stay on. Actually, inside tremendous fear, I tell you. You look at his face and the why. That fear inside there is so strong. And sometimes, the way he talk is to try to keep it up. Well, there is no way for this delusion to free the mind. The delusion can only free when wisdom comes in. So your question is very good. Ignorance is the big picture. So apart from self-delusion, there are other ignorance. Ignorance of the Four Noble Truth is one of the ignorance. Ignorance of how you function as a human being, the dependent origination, is another ignorance. Ignorance of Dhamma, the essential Dhamma. Wow, exactly 10:30. It's also ignorant. Yeah. So self-delusion is a very small part. That is the kaya-diti that condition you to grasp, cling, and hold the evil roots to arise. That part is the main ignorant. Main in the sense that because of this, you are trapped in samsara, understand? Because that is the first factor to break. If you cannot break, means there is a mark of a self, understand? Yeah. Not the Diamond Sutta one. No. Mark of a self-cultivating. Because that one they know. This one is false. Then the mark of... What is the other mark? Mark of human being. Understand? No? That all these people are real. That mark of life. Dhamma. Everything is like real to you. These are the mark. That's why you hold on to mark. Your mind cannot free. Understand? So self-delusion is one part. But that mark is a lot of things. So it's not only you. Because of this sakayaditi, you hold on to the mark of a person inside there cultivating, a person suffering, a person trying to own things and have things. Then there are other people. Then you separate between you and them. Then you think life is real. You think existence is real. You think there is such thing as Dhamma, Four Noble Truth, everything. This pertains to the existential world. Ultimate truth, all this don't exist. That's why the Heart Sutta says, in true emptiness, none of this. Just now we just chant. Yeah. So unless you have the wisdom of the conditioned world and the unconditioned, you cannot break free. Your mind cannot liberate. So wisdom, you cannot learn. You cannot define and memorize. Cannot. You have to awaken to it. Means it has to be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Realize means what? Listen attentively with mindfulness, with awareness. That if you have the past conditioning, your past cultivation, that it will awaken. Then Sutamaya Panya arise. Otherwise, reflect, contemplate, like what I teach you. How can I understand the final summary of the First Noble Truth? Why did the Buddha say this? In short, he summarized, all of suffering is self-delusion that conditions your grasping and clinging to the five aggregates. Means this five aggregates of grasping are suffering. So to understand this, I must understand what is the five aggregate. Correct or not? Then only I can put it to test. That's why this book comes in. That's how I reflected, contemplated. Then when I understand this, I put it to test, I realize everything falls into place. That's why I dare to teach. Even people agree or don't agree, not important. But this is the truth. Yes. Chui. Use the mic. Yeah.
Theravada teaching, three
correct,
years,
correct.
But the emptiness that just now you referred to is actually a Mahayana.
No.
It's in the Theravada
teaching.
Okay.
But you see, wait. Theravada Pali got sunyata or not? Use the mic. Yeah.
I mean, when I think of Mahayana, I always think about emptiness. Why do you want to think
Mahayana teach emptiness, Theravada doesn't teach emptiness?
I didn't know that for a long time, you see, until I experienced it.
Yeah.
So it's just that in the readings that I've come across, until later on, I discovered this
sunyata.
It was always something which the Mahayanas place more emphasis on, because maybe we are so silly, we are still grasping with the three characteristics.
Yeah.
At that time, we never got beyond the three characteristics.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I understand. Yeah. You go and get that book, Emptiness, the talk I gave in Klang, you remember that?
I edited that book.
No, read again.
I know, but at that time, read. I didn't understand.
Ah,
you see,
and it's all explained there.
At that time, I didn't understand.
That's why
I'm asking this question.
That's why you ask the question whether this word emptiness is a Mahayana teaching or not. No, it's in the sutta. You know, the Buddha say, when that thing happen, you have to go. You go. Yeah, better go. Yeah. No problem. Say it to you. No problem. Inside that book, the Buddha spoke that sutta. Yes. No, it's written there very clearly. The Buddha said, when the era where all these people don't believe in this special teaching of emptiness, that is how the Dhamma will fall. The Dhamma ending age will arise. Yeah. You know about the pack, isn't it? Every time got one argument or doubt, they will put one pack into the drum. Until the whole drum was full of pack. No more drum. Understand? There's too much argument, division and all that. You go and read. It's very beautiful. The Buddha mentioned it. When people don't believe such teaching, then the Dhamma ending age will come. Actually, this emptiness was in the Theravada teaching. They had the word sunyata. No, it's very easy. What is the three characteristics? Anicchang, Dukkang, Anatta. And what is Anicchang? Anicchang means what? Impermanent. So, impermanent, okay? Means dependent originating, condition arising. Without condition, it can never arise. Okay? So, how real can it be? Do you understand? We've gone through that talk I delivered. You can divide time into three periods. Correct or not? The whole spectrum of time is there. Past, present, and future. Past is already gone, not a reality. Future yet to come, also not a reality. So the present moment, which a lot of people talk about, the power of now, awareness, is the highest in life. But to transcend life, you have to transcend the moment. Understand? So the moment is the highest in life. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? What are you doing? No, you are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so you are not with the moment. You understand? When you are not with the moment, then you miss out on life. But that is the only reality. That's why you have to be aware. But how stable is the present moment? This moment I speak about it, split second is dead and gone. The next moment arrives. Understand or not? So how real can it be? Isn't this empty? That's why the Mandarin Mahayana got a famous saying, Lai ye kong, qi ye kong, na mo si zu a, he bi ku ku wei kong liu lei. When you come to this universe or this world, you come with nothing. You go, you also go with nothing. Then in between, why did you grieve over nothing? You understand? No reality. Who come? Who go? Who is born? Who die? What die? You don't understand. But through self-delusion, you cling. You hope. That's how you become deluded. That's how you suffer. But you understand all this. Emptiness doesn't mean don't have anything. You understand or not? The real meaning is empty nature or existence. The existence is not real. That's why it's empty. And because it is anichang, it is empty. You understand or not? So no different. It's when people don't understand, they argue over the words. Understand or not? Impermanent is just so simple. Yeah. That's why I go and read the book, Emptiness. It's very good. The book is very good. I remember I delivered that talk. A lot of things happened at that time. Okay, we better end. Otherwise, you all will not have the time to have your good meal. Okay, let us compose our mind. Yeah? Recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have gathered and developed. Then we shall share these merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Aka sata cha pumata deva naga mahindika yang tang anumoditwa cirang rakan tu loka sasana ita wata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anubodantu sapa sampati sidiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu. Yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Sakyamuni Buddha and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you. Yeah, correct, correct. When you have the wisdom through the insight, you become different. It's not the anicchang dukkha anatta, it's the insight into it that awaken you. And the wisdom is the awakening, nothing to do with the three characteristics. If you cannot awaken to it, the wisdom is not there.